Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Doctrine of Truth with Bishop Poole as your host. We thank God for you wherever you are now, today, tomorrow, as you begin to share. We ask you now wherever you are, we join prayer. Amen. Seeking God for direction. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, look upon our listeners today, Father, wherever they are tonight. Oh God, as we begin to view and to hear what thus said the Lord, O God, because you say where two or three touch and agree, whatever is bound in heaven is bound on earth. Whatever is loosened in heaven, O God, can be loosened on earth. And we thank you, Lord, for your word, your confirmation, the helping us, for your written word, for your, O God, in the name of Jesus, a name above every name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Thank you for viewing us. And amen. Call a friend. Tell a friend. Amen. Doctrine of Truth is on the air. And I would endeavor always, amen, to bring a desire, amen, to help one another. We want you to cheer up. We want to be encouraged. We want you to look, amen, to the hills which cometh your help. And the Bible says your help cometh from the Lord. Amen. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. Amen. One of a good friend of mine once said, why both of us stay up? Amen. One of us got to sleep. So God is God. He's more, amen, powerful. He know all things and see everything. We're just saying tonight, today, cheer up. Brother, cheer up. Sister, cheer up. Jesus is alive. God is not dead. He's always with us. He's in us. He's around us. And he knows us. Amen. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. We're so thankful tonight. Amen. Today, wherever you might be. Amen. If you'd like to be a caller, call a friend, tell a friend. They can dial in at 1-855-236-2252 or 1-347-236-2252. 215-8816, 1-855-236-2252, or 1-347-215-8816. Amen. If you like to write or call sometime, as God begin to bless and the Holy Spirit begin to move with revelations and confirmation, amen. If you like to write or call, amen, email the Doctrine of Truth, you can go to our website, www.jciministries.org, www.jciministries.org, or you can view us on Facebook, amen, facebook.com/JesusChristInternationalMinistries.inc, amen, or on YouTube, www.youtube.com/user JCI Ministries, amen. And we're so thankful for the words and the encouragement. We're hoping and praying, amen. This is what we're about, amen. And those the panels and those of you that are calling in, amen, you're not only, amen, encouraging yourself, but as well as you helping others. You're helping others. You don't understand, and we're here to help as much as possible as God begin to lead us. That when you know, when you help yourself, when you speak out, amen, because Jesus is in you and God is in you, the revelation comes through and it helps you as well as others. So when you talk, amen, about your testimony and things that God has given you, it helps you as well. It helps you as well. Amen. Amen. God wants you to have things. God wants you to have things. He wants you to be successful because, amen, you represent Him. You are His ambassador. You are, amen. We credited this with, amen, Ella Garrett. Amen. He's saying that we are the bait. Jesus said that, amen, He want us to, He's going to make us fishermen of men. And you understand that, amen, what God does for you, and you begin to talk to other people, and they said, you know what, I want that, what God has done for you, amen. Can you explain to me how, what had happened that God can help me? So through your lifestyle and through your living, you help others. You help others. Amen. That's why we are living witnesses. Through your lifestyle, through your efforts, you help others by their watching you and by the things that you do. And this is one of the messages tonight in the study. I don't know if we'd be able to get through this one or not. Amen. And we might have to continue this message, because God wants you to have things, amen, and it involves, amen, what the enemy is doing. The enemy come to steal, kill, and to destroy. His effort is to discredit God's people. His effort is to destroy, amen, the works of God, amen. And if he can do this by stopping, amen, the works of God's people in the church, amen, the world would say that, oh, you know what, I don't have nothing to do with that. That churches are no good, amen, they always, all they want is money. All they want is money. All they want is my time. And this is what that's the propaganda in the Cold War that the enemy is doing, amen, because of the fact, if you begin to look and study at this now, amen, God wants us to have things. But watch what Paul was saying to Timothy, amen, the pastoral letters, 1 Timothy 5 and 8. And we want to take this translation. We always tell you, we want to look at the Good News translation here for, as well as the King James translation, the first chapter, 1 Timothy 5 and 8. And I want you to watch something now. Let us be prayerful about this, amen, that you can get the full revelation. You have to think, amen, the enemy comes to destroy, to kill and to destroy. He does not come, amen. He wants to fault the church for your downfall. He wants to fault, amen, God's people and God's method. Amen. Think, I want you to think global now. Watch this. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. It says, if any provide not for his own, it's from the King James, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Okay, don't judge yet. Now let's get some biblical, let's do some biblical reasoning here. Watch this now, from the New Good News translation, and I always like to start from the King James, and I like to move around a little bit here. Good News, 1 Timothy 5 and 8 says, do not add any widow to the list of widows unless she is over 60 years of age. In addition, the 8th verse, I'm sorry, but if any do not take care of their relatives, especially the members of their own family, they have denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. And if you begin to read all into that and to study the whole chapter, it's talking about the responsibility towards believers. The responsibility towards believers. And as well, your responsibility to your home. Your responsibility to your home. What you have, God wants you to continue. God wants you, if God bless you. There was a story, and that is not a story, this reality in the first part of my ministry, amen, and I met a gentleman, amen, and this is how the enemy works. He come to, if he can't tear you down, he'll beat you up and discourage you. And first part of ministry, he was saying, he said, you know, you love God and everything, your ministry. Don't you know that God doesn't want you to have own anything? He doesn't want you to be involved in anything of your own, because we're going to heaven, and down here on earth, we just use everything. And it left me. When he walked away, I was really down and discouraged. Really down and discouraged. So as I went back to my family, and we were going to sit around and talk, and my aunt came over, and I began to share. I said, you know, a well-seasoned man, I thought he was because I was young in the ministry. He said, God don't want us to have anything, and this, that, and the other. And wow, what did I say that for? She got upset. What did that devil tell you? What you mean? God does want you to have anything. God's going to bless you. He's going to abundantly bless you. God wants you to have this. And I say, oh, I'm sorry. I even brought up this conversation. So here it is today. Here it is today and tomorrow. You might know, amen, and I was caught in this situation early, amen, whereby I thought I was doing God a service, and everybody had a need. I would open up my wallet, my pocketbook, my home. Anything I can do to help people to grow in Christ. Anything I can do to help encourage someone, I would give them all my worldly goods. Not some of the worldly goods, everything I had. And James, I know 1 John says, amen, not love in words only, but as well as deeds. Amen. And I was giving them, matter of fact, I was giving them too much. Too much. Leaving my home, light bills need to be paid, water bill need to be paid. Amen. And I run across a lot of other ministers and workers in Christ was being crippled. We were being crippled because of the fact we was adding and supporting those that it was in Christ, but we were using up all that we had. Amen. Then we had to go back to God. We had to go back to God. Amen. Another case in point, that we have those that like to come in and testify. Amen. I was praying, asking the Lord. I said, Lord, I need a blessing. My home, I need a better job. Amen. And the ministry I was working with, and the pastor opened up his heart. He said, you know what? I'm going to give you a Sunday. Amen. And that Sunday, whatever you bring in, every offering be yours. And it was just a small little church, a little parachute church with two or three people that started. And we go out witnessing and talking to people, and God began to bless. God began to bless. Oh, the church began to put from 10, 20, 30, 40. And jealousy fell in the church. People start coming by, ministers, and talking about how much an offering I had. And the pastor approached me. He said, you know, they've been telling me, why should you take all the money from the church? And I said, well, you know, I'm always, you know, want to bless the church. So instead of me giving half, I gave him three quarters of the money. Then during the following week, as I traveled back and forth, or during the week, I was going to say, Lord, I need a blessing, because the Holy Spirit say, I gave you a blessing and you gave it away. And it shocked me. It shook me, because I wasn't aware of the tricks of the devil. Wasn't aware that the enemy can use weak Christians, and wasn't aware of the deception, how deep it is. And it slowed me down a lot, because I didn't have money to repair tires and, you know, being an evangelist and gas. And it hurted me. And it bothered me. So now to this point, amen, I realize it's a trick of the enemy. And I always teach and preach it everywhere. Amen. Don't give away all beyond what God requires. Do what requires to your local church, tithes and offerings and support. Amen. But don't give away all you have and leave your home open to the tricks of the devil. You have children and families. Amen. You need your home, a shelter. Amen. But when a soldier is down, amen, you cripple the whole army. Or you become a weak part of the army. Amen. Some of you might have some testimonies you want to share. Amen. That's why I was saying you might know someone, amen, that's going through this. Maybe you wasn't aware of this approach. Amen. The devil is taking. Amen. You can call in and press 1 on your phone. Amen. Our technician will tap you in. Amen. God bless you. I think we have some callers. Amen. On the air. We appreciate your calling. God bless you. God bless you on the air. Go right ahead. God bless you. Amen.
Well, good evening, Bishop. I really like the subject that you have tonight.
God bless you.
And this subject has moved me tonight that you have. I was looking at that, and I look at how we ought to provide for our household. That, you know, and God,
yeah.
God's word, you must first do that. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that hit me about that is, how can a man sign a 20 or 30 year mortgage? Mm-hmm. And not know, mm-hmm. not know God.
Yeah.
How could you do that? To sign a contract to pay a 20, 30 year mortgage and not know God.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Joseph. I go look at Joseph in the 41st chapter of Genesis and the 54th verse in the King James, mm-hmm. and it says, and the 7 years of the drought began to come, according to mm-hmm. Joseph has said, according to what Joseph has said. And the drought was in all the land, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread.
Uh-huh.
Joseph, you know, now that when you talk about kingdom principles, Joseph was father over the land, according mm-hmm. to what Pharaoh had been charged. And what he did, being providing for the household, he provided for the kingdom. During the 7 year drought, there was mm-hmm. plenty of throughout the drought because he provided for the household of the Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
And all around had to come to Egypt to get grain, get food, because Joseph had devised a plan wherein the household was well taken care of. So you got to take care of your own first.
Yes.
And when you look at ministries, a ministry should reflect the leader.
Okay.
Because that leader now has got to teach them godly principles, and then teaching them godly principles is just like the man of the household. A man and a wife should teach their children that in a manner so that the children would know that their source is God. That way, when it comes time for the children to leave the house, to go off to college or go into service, or when it comes time for them to leave the home, they have to teach their children that it's not dependent upon the wife or the husband, but the mother and father dependent upon God to sustain the household. Now, when the children are taught that, when it's time for them to leave the home, they leave the home fully confident to know that wherever they go, God is going to be their source, not their mother and father. God's going to be their source. But this thing of providing for your own, this thing goes way back to when Joseph provided for the entire kingdom, because the Pharaoh, a king, is responsible for his kingdom.
All right. And it's not only that, but when you begin to look at the area where Paul was telling Timothy, amen, when you come down to ordination, amen, of an elder, he says that, if an elder should be able to, where a man guide his house, that's the way he's going to guide the church. So if he have a man there that, seasoned man, and he know how, like, exactly following up on what you said, amen, that they he must know the way he take care of his house. That's the thing he's going to teach the people. He's going to teach the people.
Jephthah was telling Moses, find men that are beyond reproach. That means his house is in order, and not the place over the body of the people if his house is out of order.
We have another caller here. We can get you back here and get you back here in a couple calls. We have another caller. We might have some testimonies here, those that are going through. We have another caller. Hello, you're on the air. God bless you. Thanks for calling. We want to continue.
Good evening. Good evening, Bishop.
Yes, sir.
So glad to be on the call again this week.
Yes, sir. Good to have you.
Just like to say, I just looking over Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the 6th verse, looking in that latter part of that verse when he said that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And just listen to your testimony earlier. You know, as you begin to seek God and you begin to put God first, you know, God begin to reward you. And the thing we have to do as a responsibility over the head of our household is take that reward. When you're seeking God and you're putting God first and God rewards you, we have a responsibility to take care of our household and make sure that everything is provided for. You know, some people, I've seen times where people will take a light bill and bill money and sow into the kingdom of God. That's not godly principle. You know, even Jesus tell you to render to Caesar what's due to Caesar. You know, you pay your tithes, and a lot of times what happens with a lot of people is instead of waiting on God to open the door, what you'll begin to do is you might not want to go down the direction that God want to send you down, and so you want to go into your own way and go into your own path and go out and get something you ain't supposed to have. And then a lot of times you get yourself in bind, and what will happen is you begin to question God. Wait a minute now. I thought you said you'd provide all my needs. Now, here I am struggling. It's because you didn't want to wait on God, and God said, no, you might need to get that Toyota Camry. No, but you wanted to go get Mercedes. And God is saying, no, you don't like the door that God opened up for you. Instead of that, you want to go on your own way. Instead of letting God lead you, you begin to say, okay, well, no, I'm going to go my own way a little bit. I ain't going to ask and seek God. for it to do, mm-hmm. you know. But if you ask and seek mm-hmm. God, he always leads you in the right directions, and you'll be able to provide for your family like you need to, and it won't be a strain or it won't be a struggle. I know for myself personally, when I let God lead me into the right direction, you know, mm-hmm. things just mm-hmm. fall in place. You know, I take my mind back to when I went to buy my house. You know, when I went out before and was doing all kind of things, trying to get the house to work out, trying to get myself financed and everything, it would never work out. But when I mm-hmm. began to seek God and just, you know, went out and found the house, and I said, God, this is the house I want. You know, I'm asking you to open up doors. And next thing you know, money started falling in, and I had my down payment. You know, but it's because right. I went through the with water. I didn't try to do it on okay. my own. You know, okay. and I believe once we fall in that line and we go to God and always put God first and let God lead us, I believe we always be able to provide for our families like we need to. And you know, the Holy Spirit will always lead you right. The Holy Spirit will lead you when you even go to church. The Holy Spirit will lead you on what you need to give and always be led. You know, I always tell people that. Always be led. You know, don't try to just do it out of your own, because you do okay. it out of your own will, you always fail.
All right. We thank God for the call. We have another caller. Amen. That's pushing one. Amen. We'd like to hear your testimony, because the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, amen, let his word be established. And throughout the years of ministry, I've seen a lot of, like I said, a lot of young ministers being hurt. Amen. They went wide open and with their zeal. Amen. They know God will not let them down. Amen. And they run into reality. Amen. Number one, they run into reality. Amen. That the enemy, he's crafty. He's subtle. And he plans that attack. And it can become discouraging. Amen. To those that are in the ministry. Even those that in the body of Christ, young people in the body of Christ, they have tricks. The devil come in, false prophets, false teachers come in, and they love to throw God's name, God's word, and God this, because when people get caught in their dilemma, they get caught in the crunch, they get caught in the economy change. Like now things have really turned. And it has to turn. It has to turn. This thing has to turn because of the fact that the enemy, amen, the enemy has already planned 666, and God already said it. It's going to be 666. It's going to be a time for the Antichrist. And we're working that way, amen. So the warning is going out. I feel that this is warning going out to all God's people. Amen. Be vigilant, amen, and amen, and be watchful. The Bible says be pray and watch. Watch as well as pray. Watch where your money is going. Watch who want to, amen, say, well, God told me this. You got to have biblical word and biblical teaching to help you, amen, discern these times. These are the times, amen. And so the enemy going to have 666, amen, and the economy has to go to a position where the Antichrist got to come in, this man, and things going to start happening supernatural after a while. And you have seen brothers and sisters, you know yourself, in the crunch. You know, people change. People change when they're going through trials and tribulation. I don't know how many years Job went through his, but God was there. God is still there. God not going to leave us now. He's not going to leave us. Don't let the enemy deceive you now. God is not going to leave us, but he warns us and he tells us, amen, to follow after him. You got to have faith. Without faith in everything you're doing, will not be successful in anything. Amen. Amen. Just press one on your phone if you'd like to share a testimony, amen, to encourage someone, or you would like to be a part of this discussion to encourage. We're here to encourage, amen, to let people know. And those our brothers and sisters are listening. We have got many callers, and we thank God, amen, for trying to come to the grassroots level. Amen. God wants us to live his word. Studying is one thing, amen, but we're talking about living God's word. Amen. We're talking about walking in the store and say, oh, I need that. And the enemy say, buy it, buy it, buy it. Oh, God, you need that 20-inch screen. You need that 40-inch screen in your back car. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you don't need that. You don't need that. All right. We got a caller. Go right ahead. We got another caller. Okay, Brother Hester, thank you. See you. You're holding. And we have after you, I think we have another, amen, Garrett, looks like, I think, down in Miami, going to come in and thank God for our brother Walter. Yeah. I think for way up in Carolina. Yeah. Amen. Go right here, Brother Hester.
Well, I just think about the fact that, you know, in the book of Corinthians, they talk about when the Holy Spirit came upon the people in Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Those
mm-hmm.
who had an abundance brought their mm-hmm. all their possession before the priests and ladies at their feet, so that mm-hmm. none would go lacking. They spread, let the priests
yes.
spread it out, so go lacking. You know,
yes.
In our household, Bishop, your children, when they leave out of your household, they are representing you.
Mm-hmm.
They
represent mm-hmm.
Bathsheba, when she saw the servants of Solomon, is what
mm-hmm.
made God to see the man.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
His kingdom represented him, and it made
mm-hmm.
it clear that I got to see this man. Just looking at his servant, I got to see this man. You
mm-hmm.
know, when you're fighting for your own, whether it's a kingdom or your family, when they go out, they're representing you, you know. And so
yes.
it tells how you're leading your household, or how you're leading your kingdom. And in this day and time, your ministry should be a reflection of upon your leadership.
Mm-hmm. I got a revelation here. I don't know if I can share it on the air or not, but amen. I know back starting the early, the late 80s and early 90s, and you know when Paul was saying that, you know, a woman, you know, dress themselves in modest apparel, it was such a great, now sometimes it was an argument, sometimes it was a study, amen, but the fact that a woman should look nice, and we thank God for it, and nothing against that. Some are saying, well, this is not extravagant what I'm doing. Even in the Old Testament, when Moses allowed them to divorce, whatever the woman had on, that was all hers. So when they saw her, you know, with all her jewelry and everything on. But what about the children? What about the children? What about the children today? Amen. God's people in God's house of prayer. Are you dressing better than your children? You
mm-hmm.
represent the children. Are you throwing them away? You know, your children represent you and your household. Amen. And here, amen. Okay, all right. Go ahead. We have another call. I don't want to get off on a tantrum here, but we're talking about your children are part of the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
They are part of God's training. They are tomorrow's church. And we don't bring them to church, if we don't take care of them, what they gonna do? They're gonna blame God's people. That's what the enemy wants. He wants the enemy to blame the church. All right, we have another caller online. Amen. You can.
Bishop.
All right. Yes. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Go right ahead,
Garrett. Listening to the conversation.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And you need to finish what you just started right there. the Lord says, he says, let the children come unto me.
Yes,
that's
sir.
What Jesus said.
That's what he said.
Now listen to what he said. He said, don't forbid them not. Don't you stop them. So children are discouraged.
Yes.
If you don't take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not providing the best.
Mm-hmm.
But it's providing what's right for them.
Yeah.
That's why the old covenant says train them up in the way that they should go.
Yes.
In other words, you train them up and you teach them about Jesus. Now, he is the way. Now, if you don't teach them about Jesus, they'll be struggling for the rest of their life. And chances are they will miss heaven. Now, listen to this. Your children are the end of your life. Your life is, that's why the Jews wanted a son.
Okay.
That's why God placed so much emphasis on the firstborn.
Okay.
Because your children, your son, is an extension of you. So now, if you don't deal fairly in this life, you understand?
Yes.
God will not give you eternal life. But now here's the key. The eternal life is what? Knowing and following Jesus. I said follow because he is eternal life.
Oh, yeah.
And the strange thing about that is that you're worse than an infidel if you don't see about your house. Infidels are not Christians. Infidels don't know Jesus.
Infidels
are unbelievers.
More than that,
infidels is the one come to your church and oppose this sound doctrine. You see what I'm saying? So the key is take care of your house, because that's what the church is all about. Now, it'd be so sad if you don't obey God, then he won't see about you.
All right.
You making him, in a sense, come against his own word.
All right.
Because Jesus said, in so many words, he said, those that are in my Father's house, he said, ain't none of them lost. He said in the Father's hand. None of them lost. Remember, he said that in John 17.
Right,
he said, keep them by your word. So I'm looking at this thing, and I'm also seeing the fault of the world. I'm also seeing why there's so many killings and so much stuff going on that's unhealthy for mankind. Because what? We are defying the very God that told us created us.
Amen. Taking care
of your children is top of the list. I don't care how well you can preach. If you don't see about your children, you might as well sit down and get you some onion or something. Because trouble days are coming for you.
I'm
talking like this because I find that there's a softness towards God's commands these days, as though he's indecisive about what he means.
That's right.
So you got people. You got people. They got their own versions of the Bible. They got this and they got that. Well, that's all right. But you still got to come to the truth.
Amen. I won't get too far here on. But we want to bring it in a little closer here as well. Amen. I'm gonna say a little bit about these cults and different groups, how they do be excessive, amen. And they build their temples to the point, amen. The Haggai had said something in the book of Haggai. Haggai said in the first chapter of Haggai, he said, "Then came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your cedar houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord God, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you brought in little. You ate, and you have not enough. You drunk, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, that there is none warm. And he that earn wages, earn it with wages, and put it into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord God, consider your ways. And the Lord said that, you know, they do excessive towards themselves. So we want to, and the Lord said in Haggai, the first chapter, that he blow on the money. And people go, I don't need to do this for God. I don't do this. And they get excessive, and the enemy plagued them. And there's so many faults that he put against the house of God. They plagued them to the fact that they don't want to do nothing to help the house of God, to help people, because they all they want is money. And they find themselves in the false prophet. He teaches them to give it all to him. Then, you know, God want to give you a house. God want to give you a truck. God want to do this. And they find themselves in their error. And they're working 2 and 3 jobs. And next thing you know, I'm talking about a child of God, he get caught in that error. Amen. They're in a way, I know I was caught there for a moment. For a while, I did everything for the world, you know, to help them come into Christ. And I was lacking. And then, for a point there, I got upset. And the Holy Spirit, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I don't know, I can give him a hand clap. Because I thank God he helped all of us. But Haggai, when I ran into this book, Haggai, the Lord dealt with me, amen, on a mission to tell some of these people, you know, I don't want to pay no tithes. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But that's their responsibility. And Haggai, the Lord said, I'm going to blow on it. I'm blowing on it. And they have money, but they try to buy something for their house or their home, and they don't know where the money go. They don't know where the money go. Amen. We see we have some more callers. Amen. We thank God for your call. Let's press 1. Go right ahead. We have a caller that's punched in. Go right ahead. You're on the air. You're on the air. Yes.
Good evening. Good evening, saints. I just want to say a few things. Well, actually, 2 things about what you're talking about tonight.
Okay.
One is about the children. And there's a scripture in Proverbs 17:6 that says, the children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father.
Okay.
Now, we just, you know that the father needs to be glorious. He needs to be a glorious father to his children. And that's passing down the wisdom of God to his children.
Okay.
Second, we know that the devil, of course, is the father of lies. And many Christians believe that lie, that God wants them to be in a situation of either pride or lack or covetousness, and it's not true. God in 3 John says that he wants us to prosper, he wants us to be in good health, and he wants us to be able to pass that on. And so because of these blessings that the Father has given us, he also has given us the Spirit to be able to overcome the enemy so that we can stay in a mode of wisdom and discernment and use the wealth that he has given us accordingly. We have a lot of people that, let's say if you are wealthy in the Lord or blessed by God enormously, then you also have people that come into your life that feel that they have a sense of entitlement to your blessing. And that's another problem.
I understand.
And so what do you think about that? Because, yes, it's good to bless and share, but you have to do these things in wisdom. And so, you'll have family that has a sense of entitlement. I don't care how much you give. They think they're entitled to everything that you have. People if you have a business and you're very prosperous people, there are people there that feel they don't have to work for what good salary or money or blessing that you pay to them for what they should be doing. So this is where the wisdom and the discernment and God's knowledge comes in and helps us to get through the good and the bad of this.
I thank God for your calling. That's very true. Doesn't matter what level you're on, if the enemy see you being blessed, and he's seeing that God has got his hand on you and you are growing as you prosper, as your soul prosper. Number one, I could say to you, that's put build yourself around, get you a good surrounding of friends that not necessarily they're not educational wise, but have the experience of living and owning things that where they can and put in your life, you know, yes, I've been that way, I do this, and don't do that. They live, and many times, as Paul told Timothy, the older women, you know, teach the younger women. So that's one direction. The second one, I ran into that problem as pastor and evangelist. People come up to me, and I just open my wallet. I just put all my money out. And what really stopped me one time and disturbed me, and because I pray about it, and we had a deep discussion about the same subject that you brought up. Excuse me. A young man came up to me in the early 80s. He said, this, that, and the other. And I opened up I had a pocket where I put a lot of change and quarters, and I was willing to give. And I gave him what I had. And, you know, he was starting debating with me. And then, no, I can't buy this. I can't buy this with this. I need more. And that really shook me to the point, said, okay. And I had to go back. And I had to go back and really say, okay, when you find there are people walking the street, want a handout, and I always teach that once you be faithful to your church and what God asks you to do as a member of your church, then what you should do is be satisfied with that. Your tithes and your offering and your church is obligated to meet others. Okay, that's a very good question, and we have to deal with that later. We have some more callers. At the same time, amen, don't feel discouraged. That is a very, very big, honest experience that you're going through. We have another caller. God bless you for calling and keep listening. We hope we can help somebody else, can help her on that statement. Okay? All right, go right ahead. Were you on the air? Hello? Yes, sir, you're on the air. You press 1. Our technician has put you in. Okay, he came off, but always the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Many of us have experienced certain things, and it's up for us to share. Amen. Build your surrounding with seasoned people. Even I have some people that I have always, bishops and called, been in the business before me. Yes, sir, you're on the air. Hello? All right, he pushed 1. He's we're holding for you. Our technician pushing 1. Amen. I think we have some technical problems with that call. All right. But at the same time, amen, once you do your tithes and offerings and your organization that you're with, the church that you're with, amen. That's why Jesus had said, amen, when I was sick, when I was hungry, you can discern and kind of begin to look in those mission avenues there. Jesus said, when I was sick, when I was hungry, when I was in prison, amen, when I was naked, when I was thirsty, those are avenues whereby, amen, you can feel safe, but you have to pattern out and look in those areas. All right. We have someone. Press 1. Okay, we have. All right, go right ahead. We have someone. Go right ahead. Our technician have you. All right, ahead. We have someone. Go right ahead. You're on the air. Hello? Okay, 5235, area code 305. Okay, go right ahead. You're on the air. Hello? Hello? We're having a little problem here with that call. Amen. You're on the air. The whole number is 633-5235. Amen. But in that area, until we get that cleared up, in that area, amen, of the missions that Jesus began to say in Matthew's. All right, we have another caller. Let's press 1 on your phone, and we'll be glad to. Yes, go right ahead. You press 1, Carolina. You press 1. Yes.
Bishop, I'd just like to comment on what she was talking about earlier. I think in a situation like that, you really have to pray for a spirit of discernment to be able to discern when you should sow into a person's life and when you shouldn't. I think when you do come into wealth and things like that, you know, you do have people that sit back and try to target and try to play off of you and, you know, come and know that you have a little bit of extra and, you know, you have a giving heart or whatever, but you really have to pray for a spirit of discernment to know the right areas you need to be sowing into, you know, because you really, you can end up in a situation where you're sowing into unfruitful ground just because you have a good heart and you want to do what's right and you want to help people. But you really have to pray for a spirit of discernment to be able to discern, you know, the right way to go.
Great, great, great. I agree with that totally. And that's why Jesus said, when I was sick, when I was hungry, and, you know, he made such a judgment, a statement, and said, and many of them said, Father, when did we see you sick and hungry? We know we would help you. We was casting out devils, and we was doing this. And Jesus said, no, when you saw the least one. Because you never know who you are helping if you see the hungry, those that are maybe going to the cities and counties, if you have a lot of extra to point to other people's lives. Christians always get targeted. I mean, the real ones.
Yep.
And living by the word of God.
And
they should not live by word alone, but by every word. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
And also, I'd like to comment back on a little bit we were talking about earlier with the children. Me, myself, as being a youth pastor of my church, I'm able to talk with a lot of children, and children are very sharp. And children, a lot of times, they can pick up on our spirit. And
yes,
when they go into church and they see saints that are not right, and they pick up on things like that, and a lot of times it confuses children. It confuses children because they see people out in the world, and then they see you in church, and when they don't really see a difference, it begins to become confusion, and they grow up a certain way because a lot of times they're confused. They don't know what's right and what's wrong, and we have a responsibility to hold them to a standard. But we must ourselves be held to a standard first before we can try to hold our children to a standard. We gotta hold ourselves to a higher standard and know that they're always looking. When we don't think they're looking, they're always looking.
Always looking. All right. We thank God tonight for all of you. Any more comments, let's press 1 to our panel. Do you have more comments to follow up on? Amen. All right. We have all right. Go ahead. I think this all right, go right ahead. You're on the air. You're on the air. We have about 5 minutes left. Amen. I think this is Ella Garrett trying to come through. Okay, I think this is Ella Garrett. Go right ahead. Press 1. Yes. Hello? Is you having technical problems from somewhere? Amen. This is 633-5235. Amen.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Bishop, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now.
Yeah, this is Minister Daniel. I was just wanted to say something concerning what you were saying tonight. I liked how you were saying, how you were talking about entertaining people unaware. And I was thinking, I heard a saying that says, friends who take time to care are really angels unaware. And sometimes we just look at the money part of it, but God gives us time, talent, and money to give and provide for our family.
Okay.
I discussed with you one time. Sometimes preachers, it's not only the money. Money and stature, knowing that you're a good father is good. But when you take time and knowing and understanding who your child is and who your brothers and sisters, you know, as far as where they're coming from, different things that they've been through in their life, that reasons why they're going through, just like you minister and counsel people at the church.
Okay.
It takes
okay.
up a whole, it means a whole lot. Even how the Bible says, it says, entertain strangers unaware.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people stumble over, like, what you doing? Who you helping? Who is that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a church man?
Okay.
You know, are they good?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
God, like we're talking about angels now. When you had said that, it kind of stuck out to me. And then you went to the book of Haggai too. I like that. When I first spoke my first child sermon, I said, he says, we consider your ways.
Yes, sir.
I said, you building up your houses. You got them big panels on your house, and the house of God is lying waste.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes instead of putting that extra window, doing that extra thing for your child, or even yourself, maybe like putting that big old barbecue grill in the backyard, you go and help the church do something as little as get an extra pew or help somebody pay a bill, which I've even seen you do. And so the thing, and this is one big subject. I told you I really, really like, and then when you talk about the widows, people look so much over the widows.
Yes,
and,
that's
you know,
a whole
they don't
different
have
show.
No, right. But as far as there's in our families, our widows, we don't because Granddaddy is gone. We gotta take we gotta take time up with Grandma. And just my grandmother, she's a widow.
Yeah.
And you've let me know a lot now through this message that even being a minister, going out and preaching and different things like that, I gotta be there to provide for my family. So I appreciate the space. I know you gotta cut off, but I did want to participate a little bit.
I appreciate you calling. As widows, a whole different, show. When I was in the Caribbean, not only here, looked like I have a generation that walked away from our widows. They said walked away. Amen. They're running in themselves and don't know it's a trick of the enemy. Amen. The widows helping the widows. Amen. That's a part of the church. God said, my church lie waste. You know, in the church has to help the widows, the orphan, the poor. The need and the poor. That's the guideline. God bless you tonight. We have one more caller. You have, amen. Give me about 30 seconds. Go right ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes,
go right ahead.
How you doing, Bishop? I like what you were saying.
All right.
I just want to add a few minutes there. When you said that you was hungry and you fed me in prison and stuff, a lot of times, we're not only just talking about the physical part, but when you're hungry, you just need to tell somebody that Jesus loved them.
Yes.
And being a widow and visiting them, you know, we should visit them, but he's also talking about most of the spiritual part. You can feed them with the spiritual part, and that alone is just enough to feed them. Because the Bible tells us that if you was hungry, you didn't even feed them. What you feed them? You giving them that your food, and then go on. But you feed them that spiritual food, and that'll last forever.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You,
all right. All right.
Them.
I hate to. I hate to cut you off. I hate to cut you off, but
all right,
the Lord been blessing.
Yes, sir.
And,
all right, then.
We're going to continue this message. We got
yes,
to continue
sir.
This message. We're going to call you. Close with a prayer. We got 30 seconds. Give
me
a prayer real quick.
Yes, sir. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for this broadcast. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for everyone that's on this line. And God, we ask that you will go with them, shield them, and protect them on every side. Let your anointing follow them. God, put angels around their home. Guide them on every side. And everything that's not like you, Lord, we ask that you would cast it out in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you're full in their life and super rule to the utmost. Tell on everything that's not like you in our lives, God. And we give the praise to you because you is God. Beside
God bless
you, there's no other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Up it. Dr. William. It must have been something that I had done to make you choose another one. Why am I still in this rain? I know I'm losing my place. Didn't you call? From me.